You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
Welcome to Talking Teesdale once again. I'm Stuart Launday.
And I'm Jane Woodward.
Oh, so you're back, are you?
I am back, yes.
I'm glad to see you've made the effort.
I've even had my hair cut, especially.
Well, it works both ways because I've hoovered up for you.
Thank you.
I seem to remember you had a bit of a strop about the state of the place the last time.
Well, I know, it was getting a bit ridiculous.
So I did. I had the hoover out earlier on this afternoon.
Jolly good. I'm pleased.
So, you know, the dust's gone.
You've made an effort too.
Nice to see you back.
Yes.
Who have we got this week? We've got Jim Smith this week.
Ah.
He's coming early in the new year. If this doesn't sell out, I will eat my hat.
All right. You haven't got a hat, Stuart.
Well, not at the moment.
But I'll have to buy you one for Christmas.
I'm not short of a tit for... You know what my mother's going to buy me for Christmas? She told me this morning.
Oh, go on then.
A battery-operated little hoover.
I think you need it.
I can't...
I think you need it, Stuart.
It's not often I'm speechless, but I was this morning.
I think she's making up for the coal tongs that you bought her the other year.
No, I don't know. So, yes, this week's guest, Jim Smith, yep. Farmer and comedian.
I was going to say, I think it'll appeal to farmers. Yeah.
Very much a farmer first and then a comedian. Uh-huh. So he was telling me.
Interesting.
Interesting chat. Really enjoyed it. That's coming up very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a look at one or two things that are coming up.
We will.
Plenty of opportunities looking at this list to bag yourself a Christmas prezi that isn't a battery-operated handheld hoover.
No.
Something a little more interesting, perhaps. Anyway, we'll come to that a bit later on when we have a look at what's on.
Right.
But for now, let's get on with the show.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
Well, I've been really looking forward to this particular interview for the podcast because I'm delighted to welcome Jim Smith, who is a farmer and comedian, or a comedian and a farmer. Which is it?
Well, I'll always be a farmer, farming first, but a comedian is... A wee sideline that's developed over the years, so it's now my diversification. I suppose most farmers need to diversify, so I've diversified into trying to make other farmers laugh.
I was going to say, I mean, my working life was as a journalist, and I've covered many, many diversification projects on farms over the years, but never comedy.
No. Well, it was just, it kind of happened, not by accident, but I used to do a lot with young farmers. You know, it was my young farmer's day, but wrote pantomimes and comedy sketches. So that's how I discovered the real buzz for it. And then I just tried 5 minutes of the stand-up one night at the Glasgow Stand at the beginner's night. So it just kind of went from there, really. So there was no... I didn't set out a grand plan, but definitely now the way farming is, we're only 300 acres sheep farm at home. I would need to be doing something else, you know.
Yeah.
So the comedy fits in nicely, you know, especially in the winter.
Just tell us a little bit about your farm. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about Teesdale, but Teesdale is a rural location, a lot of upland farming, and I believe you're up somewhere near Perth. So tell us about your farm.
Yeah, we're just kind of north of Perth, so quite similar. Perthshire's split into either good arable land or the into the Highlands. So we're kind of in between. Kind of an upland stock farm, which we can grow crops as well, like barley and things, but we're mainly just in the kind of foothills of the Grampian Mountains. So very similar. I mean, that's the reason that I chose the Witham, because we wanted to target these kind of rural areas rather than me going into the, you know, inner city comedy clubs, you know. So that's, so as much as I'm enjoying coming down to the gig, but I'm also enjoying, you know, a wee run down. Because as farmers like a little tour in the car, then seeing the countryside, something different. So, but yeah, we're just kind of up north of Perth, 20 minutes north of Perth up the A9. Just if anyone was heading up to Inverness, we're just, you know, 10 minutes off the A9 there at Bankfoot.
And is it sheep? Is it cattle as well as arable? Or what's the
it's,
of the farm?
It's all sheep. We used to have suckler cows, beef cows, and this is now a bugbear of mine. 5 years ago, I decided to sell the cows just because I was doing more comedy. And anyone that has beef cows will know that they're quite a tie. And then the beef price wasn't that fantastic back then. And then I sold the cows, and in the last 3 or 4 years, the beef price has rocketed, which is great. It's great for these guys that still have cows, but not that I'm bitter. But it certainly life's a lot easier because the sheep, as much as the sheep can tear your hair out, and there's a lot of work at lambing and flipping and dipping, the sheep can be, they're not so high maintenance as cows. You know, we can do the sheep one day and then leave them for a week or two, you know. So it works in a lot better with my comedy. And I have 2 young kids as well now, 2 daughters at 3 and 5. So we're plenty on, you know.
Yeah. What breed of sheep do you keep?
It's good. So there's a mixture. There's some Cheviots, and we do some Cheviot mules, and then Texels and Flinds as well. Just a kind of mixture, you know. So,
Okay. I had to ask that. That's very important down here.
it is, yes, I know. I know.
It's
Is it Swaledales
Swaledales.
that'll be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
I've
of
got a.
Swaledales.
There's a guy along. He's a big sheep. Well, he's got a big hill sheep farm up near Brechin, but he's from this area, and he's a proper sheep dealer as well. And he fattens a lot of lambs all over Angus and Perthshire, and it's Swaledales he has rather than Blackies. And then he'll fatten them on turnips, and then he takes them all the way down to Kirkby Stephen market, even from up here, because it just there's a better demand for that
Yeah.
down there. So you know, he'll take 500, 600 in a float at the time. It's worth his time to go that bit extra, you know.
Absolutely. Kirkby Stephen's well located. You get buyers from Yorkshire coming up, and you get
Yeah.
buyers coming across from Lancashire as well.
Yeah.
So it creates a good
Aye.
demand.
That's what I'm really looking for coming down, because Perthshire and Fife and in the kind of east of Scotland's more arable areas now, whereas years ago there used to be lots of livestock markets. You know, there used to be one in Forfar and one in Perth and one up at Aberfeldy, and they're all shut now. It's just Aberdeen. There's nothing between Aberdeen and Stirling, which is about say 100 miles. Whereas when I realised I did a gig in Carlisle in the summer, and I asked what's the local market, and I realised it was about 4 or 5 all within maybe a 30 mile kind of radius. You know, so it's still livestock's still very important down your way, you know.
Absolutely. I think we'd probably best move back onto the comedy.
Yeah.
Do you need to have a good knowledge of farming to enjoy the show that you do?
No, not at all. It's very, I can't stress this enough, that it's for all, for everyone. Some of the jokes are a bit technical, you know, if I'm talking about tups and yows, or I have to call them ewes and rams, right enough, and explain it all. But I explain the joke that so it's set up, you know. And when the real tester is when I go to Glasgow, or in Edinburgh, and I'm trying to talk about farm and stuff, and but I just try and explain it a lot more, the setup of the joke more. It does help if you're into farming or an interest in farming. It does help a wee bit, but really, no. I get a lot of city folk coming to watch, which always gives me great pleasure. And I have to admit, Clarkson's Farms helps, because you know a lot of town folk are watching them Clarkson's Farm that would never normally watch Countryfile or Landward or Farming Life, you know. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're starting to get into stewardship schemes and things like that, I think you spend more
Aye.
time explaining things than actually telling the
Yeah.
joke.
Aye. No. Yeah. No, there's nothing too technical. And it's, don't worry, I do try and cheer farmers up rather than have a good moan about farming.
Was going to say, I mean, there is this cliched image of the farming community as being a rather sort of dour bunch
Yeah.
of folk. And I mean,
Trying to get them to go to the pub first, you know, for an hour. But no, well, they are, but I mean, there is that image. But then, if you don't want to come and get cheered up, don't come. But if you're up, but it's surprising, you know, folk they like a good laugh, you know. Then and farmers say, I think they've got quite a dry sense of humour. They're just like every other walk of life. Some folk are a bit reserved and a bit dour. Other folk are the, I mean, I know some really funny farmers that are bright and cheery and optimistic. So, yeah, a good joke should cut through everyone. You know, and make everyone laugh. But I mean, I do a lot up in Aberdeenshire, and they're kind of renowned for being quite dour, but I always seem to land okay up there, you know what I mean? Just so you know, it's funny, some folk will laugh and some folk will sit there quite glum faced at a gig, and I'm thinking, are they enjoying that? And then they'll tell me afterwards, or I had a great night, you know. So it just, you know, folk can we'll wait and see. But I'll tear these up, I promise.
You mentioned I was going to mention him anyway, but you mentioned Clarkson's Farm in passing just there. What's your thoughts? I mean, obviously he makes himself the butt of pretty much everything on his farm down there.
Aye.
Do you think what he's been doing has been good for getting the message across about the way farming is at the
Yeah.
moment?
Yeah. He's done that unlikely thing of getting farmers to love him and the public as well. So I think the way, because I was never really into Top Gear or anything like that, but I think the warmth that comes from it is him making the mistakes. You know, the sheep getting out, the time. I mean, I haven't watched all the, I watched a few episodes, but the time he hit the telegraph pole with the cultivator and all that kind of stuff. And then, and it works with, you need Caleb, obviously, and Caleb and Gerald and all these kind of guys. You know, I think seeing him totally out in his comfort zone is what brings it well. Is a warmth that folk tend to then like him, and you know, and but it's good that he has, even a big arable farm like that really should be making a living. It's struggling to, you know, the kind of years where he only made a profit of, I can't remember what it was. Was it £500 or something? I can't,
Yeah, it
you know,
was.
after all that investment
Yeah.
and all that turnover. So it's been really good for that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're chatting on Budget Day. There's a big demonstration planned with farmers taking the tractors into London today.
Aye.
You get the impression, I mean, sometimes you get the impression is, why on earth does anybody farm? Is it still worth doing?
Well, I know. That's where I've been. We always get asked that. Folk ask me a lot, why don't you just give up your farm and focus on your comedy? But I'd hate to give up farming. It's just, I know it's a cliche, like it's a way of life, but I think farmers aren't looking to make a fortune. They just want a fair return for the work, but there's so many other priceless things about being a farmer that you can't put a price on. One, likes of being your own boss. Two, not having to commute every day. I mean, we're working beautiful scenery, outdoors. If you like driving tractors, if that's your thing, which is great fun, I still love driving tractors. Or if you like working with animals, you know. There's so many different things. Every day's different, you know. I mean, if I have to have an afternoon in the office doing paperwork, I come out demented after about 2 or 3 hours, you know. So there's, yes, there's not a lot of money to be made in it sometimes. Some years there is, and some years there's not. And we're dependent on the weather and things like that. But it's just in us. I think, and I so I know, and as much as you get scunnered with it sometimes, I know so many folk that would be desperate to get a small farm or get their foot on the ladder just to get farming. So I can't explain it. It's a bit like saying, why do folk climb in roads? Why do folk go hill climbing? Why do folk go to the gym? Why do,
Yeah.
you know, there's other folk that wouldn't want a farm, that just are quite happy being in an office, you know, surrounded by colleagues and that as well. So it's just horses for courses, but I couldn't. I think I'd go mad not having something to do. I really do.
Since the comedy side of things has sort of started to take off, is it difficult to balance the comedy and the farm these days?
Not so much now. I don't have the silver cows because, as I say, I was away. If I was trying to plan gigs, if I was away staying a couple of nights and then, you know, maybe have a cow calving at home or something like that, or they were breaking out. So don't have that stress anymore. But, not too much. More so now I'm venturing down south more. But as I say, that's why we pick in January. That's why I tend to do more in the winter, because we're a bit quieter at home on the farm. So in fact, it's a welcome break, actually, because it can be a bit dreary in the winter. So So it's just about careful planning. I'm not actually away a lot, but what I do do, I'm lucky being in Perthshire, but I'm only an hour and a half from Glasgow. I'm only just over an hour from Edinburgh, and I can go down there at nights and test out my material at the stand and things like that. So it's just and I just focus it as a kind of part-time job, and it's got to be done. So no, we can manage. I mean, obviously, I don't do any gigs during harvest time. So August, September's out, and lambing's out as well. So no gigs in April, you know. So it's just about trying to be organised.
And I'm guessing with everything that goes into keeping your farm going, you're never short of material.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's always different stuff. Although sometimes when I try and sit down and write new stuff, I think, God, you know, I could spend ages trying to think of a joke, and you think that's not funny. You do that whole comedian thing. I've been, oh God, I'm terrible at this, and I'm not funny. And then something, maybe you're driving to a gig, or you're just in the tractor, and some a wee quirky thing will come in your head, and you'll try it out at night, and it works. So that goes in the notepad, you know. So, but definitely just now with everything that's going on with the inheritance tax, and although I try not to delve too deep into all that kind of stuff, there's, you know, farming's full cups and heartache and all the rest of it. So I just try and make light of that. There's loads of different things that can go wrong that can we can turn into a comedy sketch. So.
I can safely say I'm really looking forward to you. When we've had farming or rural related events in the past, they've always gone down an absolute storm. I'm sure you will as well, and we look forward to seeing you very early in the new year. Thanks very much, Jim.
And you can catch Jim Smith on stage at the Witham on Wednesday, January the 7th. Tickets are on sale now and they're selling fast.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
So it's time to look ahead to what's coming up. And before we look into the next few days, quite an exciting event that's gone on sale for almost a year's time, isn't it, Jane, who's back in the studio with me?
Yes.
With a duster.
With a duster. It's not battery operated.
And a bottle of Mr. and a can of Mr. Sheen.
Anybody who knows me knows that I would not have either of those items.
There's always a first time.
There is, that's true.
Absolutely. That's true. Right, anyway,
yes.
John Lydon,
yes.
AKA Johnny Rotten, as was back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in the year that punk exploded.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of, you'll have been a bit little for punk.
Just a little bit.
I was sort of around about the age. I remember it all. In fact, in that box just over your shoulder of old 45s, singles as were.
Yeah.
I have various punk records in there.
Oh, okay.
From the late 70s.
Very good.
Something like, I have the UK subs on green. The big thing back in the day was to get coloured vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So the UK subs on green was quite a feather in one's cap,
right?
Because these weren't on; they weren't really on general sale. You had to hunt them out.
I bet they're worth quite a bit of money now. Then,
well, I don't know. You keep your mitts off them.
All right.
Anyway, John
I'll
Lydon.
I'll give them a dust.
Absolutely. So John Lydon, Sex Pistols, Public Image Limited was his band after that. 14th of November next year. What sort of show is he doing?
Well, he's doing a meet and greet. He's written a book called I Could Be Wrong, I Could Be Right.
That is the title of one of his famous songs.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I'll play it to you later. I can't imagine somehow you being a big John Lydon Public Image fan, to be honest.
No, not my kind of music.
But I'll dig that one out, and then you'll know why it's called why it is.
Yeah. So he's going to talk about his life.
Ah, it's a talky, question-answery type thing. Is he playing any music, or is it just a talky?
It doesn't say that he's playing music, but you never know. There might be one or two surprises.
Well, fingers crossed.
And there are three different ticket prices, so you can either have a standard seat, you can have a premium seat, and you get a goodie bag. Not quite sure what would be in the goodie bag.
Yeah.
And you can have a meet and greet.
Oh, my word.
Nearest seats to the stage.
I don't
Photograph,
know.
Autograph, meet him in person.
I'm never one to put people off with this, but I've never been one to meet the, you know, they always say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I, the people I've met who've admired when I was younger, I've generally met in a professional capacity, which is different to meeting somebody who, as you go along, as a fan kind of thing. And I've always kind of stuck to that. And I know some people love it.
I didn't get to meet Chris Ramsay when he came the other week when I was duty managing that. Do you know the closest I got was making him a lemon and honey drink.
Oh.
Which apparently he said was wonderful.
Well, there you go. What more do you want?
Exactly.
Perfect. You can put that in your autobiography.
I can.
So, so tickets are on sale for that now.
They are, and they are actually selling fast.
Good.
Even the meet and greet ones, so be quick.
And just as
Christmas present.
And just as a treat for you, I'll play a Public Image Limited song to play us out this week. Right. So that's that. That's something good. Yeah, as you say, perfect Christmas present.
Yep.
Why not? Anyway, what have we got coming up in the next few days? We turn another month. We're into December, which to my mind makes me think there must be another exhibition.
And there is.
Blimey, I've been doing this too long.
You are right. This one is by artist Suzanne Williams.
Okay, that rings a bell.
Yep. I don't think she's had an exhibition at the Witham before, but she's certainly exhibited her work.
Yeah,
and she's well known. She does quite a lot of things at the Hub.
Yeah, I've definitely
crafty
come
things.
That's where I'll have come across her, down at the Hub.
Craft workshops and things like that. Yeah. Anyway, she's doing an exhibition called Mixed Art Over Land and Sea.
Ooh.
And it says she completes commissions and has shown her work across the northeast of England.
Very good. Oh, well, that'll be worth a look.
It will indeed. So that opens on Tuesday.
December the 2nd,
yes. And just as a reminder, we have slightly tweaked our gallery opening times.
Oh.
So we're now open slightly earlier at 9:30, in line with the cafe opening at 9.
I see.
Yes.
It's all clever stuff.
It is.
You marketeers, eh? Never miss a trick. And then it's quite a quiet week next week, but coming up at the end of next week, something called Midwinter Revels. Do tell more.
So this is Green and Matthews, and it's a celebration of Yuletide past.
Oh.
Features Christmas carols, winter folk songs, toe-tapping tunes, and weird and wonderful instruments. So I think it's kind of... bygone era,
yeah.
Old instruments.
Is it a sort of family type show?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, definitely.
If you fancy getting into the Christmas mood,
yes,
then this sounds like a good start to the festive season.
It'll definitely appeal to anyone that likes folk music.
Marvelous.
Yeah,
that's good. So that's Midwinter Revels. That's on. When's that on?
Friday, the 5th of December at 7:30.
Excellent stuff. And while we're still in the mood for Christmas, and a chance to bag a prezi at a couple of craft sales we've got coming up.
Yeah, we've got Northern Crafts.
Back for their monthly visit.
Their last visit of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming on Saturday, the 6th of December, between 9:30 and 3:00.
Very good. They'll have the usual selection of stalls who come along every month. Always nice to see them.
Exactly.
And then the following Saturday, the 13th.
We've got a new craft fair. This is a Yule Winter Solstice Fair.
Blimey.
Arranged by Gather North Events.
Oh.
So this is in the hall again from 10 until 3. And you can get pagan and magical wares.
Ooh, blimey.
Fantasy and spiritual wonders.
Pagan and what's it? Doesn't really scream Christmas to me, does it?
Winter solstice, that's a pagan festival. Healing and sacred oils, handmade jewellery, tasty sweet treats.
Always interested in a tasty sweet treat.
I don't think they've got anything with batteries in it.
Oh, well.
Well, I don't think so.
Not going then.
I might be able to find something. I could find you a candle or something. There you are. You could have a nice aroma going on in the studio.
Dear. I walked into the house
for pine needles or something like that.
I went and took my mum and dad out for a cup of coffee this morning. Walked into the house. It smelt exactly like football changing rooms of old. Beep, Pete. My dad's got a dodgy knee.
Oh, dear.
So his answer to it is to go back 60 years to when he played football and liberally apply the deep heat.
Oh, no.
So I wandered into the house and, right, the sinus is cleared very quickly.
I don't want a candle that smells of deep heat.
Oh, dear. Right.
Yes.
Right, that'll do for that. Where can we get details of all things that are going on at the Witham?
By calling the box office.
On?
01833 631107.
And we can go online at?
www.thewitham.org.uk.
Excellent stuff. Right, we'll be back next week.
We will.
For more fun and games.
More announcements next week.
Oh.
Lots of things happening.
Oh, I'm all agog. Mm.
Yes.
Sleepless nights for me until next
week. Exactly.
Excellent stuff. See you next time.
Bye.
And that's it for this time. Do hope you've enjoyed the show. As promised to Jane, we're going to play out with Public Image Limited. So until next time, cheerio.
Listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share, and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.